that I'd like for you to ask yourself. And in the 11:15 hour, we'll be sharing the vision for Victory Baptist Church in 2026. But for right now, usually during this time, we go line upon line, verse upon verse, precept upon precept. But I'm not going to do that today. I want you to ask this question. Why did Jesus call Peter Satan? Why did Jesus call Peter Satan? Matthew chapter 16. Thank you, Mishante. Amen. Matthew chapter 16 and verses 13 through 23. But right now we're going to go ahead and read verse 13. The Bible says this. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that the Son of Man am? Next one. Verse 14 says, and they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. Verse 15. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, what did he say? Thou art the what? Christ. Another name for that is the anointed one, the chosen one, the Messiah, the Christ. The son of the what? Let's just pause right there. Who told Peter, I want you to think about this question, that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one of God? Or like he said, the son of the living God. Who told Peter that? It's not a trick question. It's revelation that you and I can have as well. When you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, who do you receive? The Holy Spirit. That's what happened here. Okay? Now, I understand it's during this time that they did not receive the Holy Spirit yet. It was until Jesus left, right? But understand that this insight was given to him by God. Continue. It says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon. But why? Look what it says. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it. What does that mean, flesh and blood? No human being told you this truth. Nobody told you. None of your family members, your pastor didn't tell you. Your Sunday school teacher didn't tell you. Your parents didn't tell you. Your children didn't tell you. Flesh and blood. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. But my who? Which is in heaven. See, it's not too far-fetched when I said God revealed it to him. Amen? And can I tell you something? In your life, there's going to be things that God reveals to you. And it's going to be a divine truth. Peter here spoke a divine truth. But what happens next, he made a mess of. He used human logic. Let's continue. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter. Now, he's telling him, you are who? Peter, comma. And upon this rock, who's the rock? It's not Peter. He's not the Pope. By the way, last time I checked, Catholic priests, they're not married, correct? Peter had a mother-in-law. That's for free. You don't have to pay me for that. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Who's the rock? Jesus, not Peter. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, who's a representation of hell that we fight? A nemesis, an adversary. Who?
Satan.
All right, let's continue. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Continue. Then charged he the disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the what? Continue. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must what? Go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes. And be what? And be what? So here's Jesus gathering the disciples. Peter just had a divine truth revealed to him by God, the Father in heaven. Now, Jesus is telling them, look, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Satan and his forces, the adversaries, they will not prevail. Against the church, I am Jesus. But I'm going to tell you what, not just to Peter, but to the rest of the disciples as well. He's telling them, he said, look, I have to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer many things. Okay, I'm going to get whipped with the cat of nine tails. I'm going to be crucified. And then eventually I'm going to be crucified and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Now, pause right there. What is this? This is whose will?
God.
Whose?
God's
will. Sometimes it's God's will for us to go through suffering and pain. Why? So you can embrace it and learn some lessons to help others. I didn't sign up to be a young man to grow up without a father in my life, but that was something I had to embrace and realize, even though I'm a single parent home in Houston and no father figure in my life, I had to embrace that pain and realize that was God's permitted, allowed will of God for my life. Folks, we don't have to like what we're going through. We don't have to like what God allows to come into our life. But if it's to teach us a lesson, embrace it. Pastor, why? Because it's through that pain you learn some insights and truth to push through the storms, to push through the trials, to push through whatever you're going in that moment, through that circumstance, in that situation, helps you push through. It's the pain. But you learn that lesson of resilience. You learn that lesson of not giving up, of not quitting. Amen? Jesus was at that point in Garden of Gethsemane. He wanted to quit. No, yeah. When Jesus says, let this cup pass over me, but not my will be done, but what? That's part of it. We have to embrace the pain. So Jesus is telling the apostles about God's will for his life. You follow me? It's not pretty. It's not easy. But my friends, you're going to go through life. I'm going to go through life experiencing things that are not easy, that are hard. You choose what hard life you want to live, either in God's will or out of God's will. Amen? Jesus chose God's will. Let's continue. Then Peter took him and began to what? What did Peter do? What is Peter doing here? He's rebuking. He's trying to correct Jesus. He's like, hey, no, Jesus, what are you talking about? Right? Saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I think Peter was trying to come from a place of good intentions. And I'm not going to get into my points yet, but I will tell you this. Good intentions are not always right. He had good intentions. He was loyal. He wanted to protect his Christ, his master. I mean, he didn't want any harm to come his way. But what is Peter thinking? Is he thinking about God's will? Why not? I mean, it's good intentions. This is spiritual. It's bigger than us. That's what we have to realize. What's happening here at Victory Baptist Church is not about the pastor, the pastor's family, the leadership team. It's not even about you. It's bigger than us. It's about those generations that will be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. That's what it's about. It's about this generation that we're trying to reach, the younger generation that's going to come after us. Are we giving them biblical principles from the Word of God, or are we passing down man's tradition or man's preference? I'm going to tell you, man's tradition and man's preference does not help anyone in their marriage. You know what does? Biblical principles. And if you know the revealed will of God, or the revealed will of God's command, where's his commandments? The Bible. Then guess what? You and I will know the specifics. Because our minds are being what? Renewed by the Word of God. Peter was not in the spiritual state. Peter thought that what he was saying was right. He just had good intentions. He was thinking logically. He was in the flesh. Does that make sense or no? There's some times in our lives we're going to have to pick and make a very difficult decision, but my friends, make sure that it's God's will for your life instead of your will. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Next. But he turned and said unto Peter, the question is, why did Jesus call Peter Satan? Get thee behind me. What's the next word? Is he talking to his brother? Is he talking to his business partners, John? Yes or no? Who's he talking to? But he turned and said unto, who is Jesus directing his attention to? Peter. The man that just had a divine revelation. Christ, you are Jesus, the Son of the living God. And the next, sorry, that's just how sometimes it happens. Sorry, I'm following a squirrel. Get away, squirrel. Sometimes we make a mess of things. We could say like the brightest things, right? We could say like the best spiritual divine truth, and then we mess it up with human logic. I mean, is that just me, or I mean, do you understand what I'm talking about this morning? We tend to do that a lot. Well, Peter is called by Jesus Satan. It says, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God. In other words, you're not about, your desire is not about God's will and performing the will of God. But those things that be of what? Your desire, your pursuit is after yourself. So the question is, why did Jesus call Peter Satan? I want you to see that this is one of, sometimes I read this and I mean, I can find, you know, a few moments, but this is one of the few moments where I notice, man, this is in Scripture that it's shocking. Peter, who's a future preacher of the Pentecost, right? He saw 3,000 saved. This is a man who loved Jesus. He hears these words out of the mouth of his Savior, Christ. Get thee behind me, Satan. Peter. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because even though Peter sounded loving, even though Peter sounded like he was loyal to Jesus, he appeared protective. Peter was directly opposing the will of God. Are you hearing me? When you directly oppose the will of God, you are doing whose work? Thank you, young people. It seems like you have it all together. Amen. Satan. Adults, I know we're older. Things are more complicated as we mature. No, they don't have to be. It's simple. It's hard to do because we live more in the flesh. We've done it for so long as adults, doing the bad habits and the wrong things. But when the Bible truth comes and it's revealed unto us and gives us spiritual insight, sometimes we have a hard time or we struggle with doing the will of God for our life. I'm telling you, anything that opposes the will of God is Satan's work. It's Satan's work. Here's the thing that you and I need to understand. The question here is not, could this happen to Peter? The question is, could this happen to me? Pastor, it could happen to you. It can happen to me. Could it happen to me? Yes. Yes. And here's my first point I'd like to share with you. I want to help us this morning. Revelation doesn't equal immunity. Revelation does not equal immunity. We see there in Matthew 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Next. And it says, let me just skip. Blessed art thou, Simon, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but the Father which is in heaven. This is divine revelation that took place. But I'm going to tell you something. Peter's not immune from doing the devil's work. Peter is not immune from opposing the work of God in his life or the will of God in his life. And can I tell you something, young person? You're not immune. Amen. You're not immune. Adults, you're not immune. Amen. Leadership team, you're not immune. Pastor, I'm not immune to doing the devil's work. That only happens when I pursue self over my Savior. That only happens when I do my will and put a priority on my will over God's will. I want you to understand this because it's important. Peter did not arrive in this confession here through logic or emotion. Jesus states the truth. It was divine revelation. It came from, who showed it to him? But my Father, which is in where? Heaven revealed it to him. Peter was actually teachable. That's what it teaches me, or it shows me in the scripture. Peter was actually tender to the calling of the Holy Spirit in his life. He was tender. He was willing to learn. He was, I truly believe, genuinely connected to God. But what it shows me later on, that just because he had a revelation from God, it didn't automatically give him immunity to never sin or to never do wrong. And go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. The Bible says this, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he what? Lest he fall. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. And this verse, I like it because it warns us as believers, as Christians, as those of us that are saved, against, I'm going to call it spiritual overconfidence. I mean, some people call it, you know, hyper-spiritual, or what is it? What do they call the Pharisees? Amen? Pharisaical? Spiritual, can't think of it now, amen? But I'm going to call it spiritual, you know, these people that think they have it all together, amen? And when you're around them, they look down upon you. It's almost like a superiority complex because I know the Bible. I have the truth. I live the Bible. And by the way, you should, amen? I go soul winning, good. I give, good. But are you doing it unto man or you do it unto the Lord? That keeps you humble because when you compare yourself to man, you get this big head. Your ego inflates, spiritual ego inflates. You become Pharisaical. But when you compare yourself unto God, for all have sinned and come what? Of the glory of God. Then you realize, okay, my condition compared to God, it's incomparable. I'm a sinner saved by grace. It keeps you humble. And you realize, I need my God to lead me. I can't do this without God. That keeps you right. I like 1 Corinthians because it teaches us, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Peter stood strong in the truth. But I also realized that if you just stand on your past victories, you can stumble in your future. You can stumble in your present. Sometimes we realize that our spiritual highs, we don't realize it, but they're actually spiritual tests. They're to show you where you're at, your location. Peter, again, what it taught me is that he was connected to God. He was tender to the calling of God, but he assumed he had it all together. He had good intentions. Never assume that past spiritual experiences protect you from present spiritual danger. Stay humble. Victory Baptist Church, we're entering into 2026. Don't get caught up in the past victories. Amen? Work on the victory today. Live out victory every day. That was our motto, our theme for last year. Love works. Live out victory every day. Because it is a daily reading of the scripture. It is a daily walk with God. It is a daily prayer life. It is a daily obedience to the word of God. My friends, stay humble, stay prayerful, stay submitted. The moment that you and I rely on our past victories, yesterday's victories, guess what? It makes us vulnerable. Did you hear that? It makes us vulnerable. I want you to understand that revelation without humility turns into presumption. Just because God spoke to you once, it doesn't mean you're always speaking for God. Amen. That same preaching goes to the pastor. Amen. This is why every day I must get into the Word of God. Every day I must humble myself and yield to the Holy Spirit. Every day I must pray. Man, this past, I don't know, babe, what would you say? 2 months, 3 months? Attacks. And I'm not going to say people because what does the scripture tells us, right? That it's a spiritual warfare, but it's not between flesh and blood, right? It's about principalities, right? We understand it's about Satan and his demons. But these past 3 months, man, attack after attack after attack. And can I get mad at people? I could. But I have to be right with God and realize it's not people. It's not. It's not people. It's Satan using his devices. It's Satan learning how to be sly, sneaky, slithering serpent. And just nudging you just the right way to be a hindrance to the will of God or the work here at Victory Baptist Church. But these past 3 months, man, I want to say it was, it was tough, amen. But even with that, I think my wife and I, we had to stop and just look at the blessings. We had just to look at the blessings. Count our blessings, Brother Chuck. They outweigh the negatives. Because I want to focus on the negative 100% of the time, I'll be honest with you. But then that's not doing God's work, is it? Is it? No, you got to stay humble and say, God, if you suffered, who do I think I am? And I'm not suffering the cross. I'm not getting whipped with the cat of nine tails, so why am I going to play victim? We can't. All I know is I need my God. All I know is I need to be right with God in order to be able to lead his people. Amen? I'm just an under-shepherd here. I'm just a voice in the wilderness. And I understand that. But there are sometimes these distractions come, and if you pay attention to your past, you'll never be present right there in your moment. Because the devil knows if he can distract you from the present, then your future is lost. We can't do that. Stay humble. Here's my second point. Good intention is not the same as obedience. I believe that's what I put. Yeah. Good intention, singular, sorry, is not the same as obedience. Matthew 16:21 says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests, scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Next, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Peter, again, I truly believe he wasn't trying to be evil. I know he wasn't trying to be evil. He was trying to be protective. And if you love someone, you want to be protective. That's just the truth. Well, he loved Jesus, and he couldn't imagine how Jesus, the Messiah, was going to suffer. But Peter, at the same time, I have to say this is what I see. He valued comfort over the calling. He valued comfort over God's will or revealed will of his command. He wanted everything to be good. He wanted everything to be okay. He valued preservation over prophecy. This is what Peter valued. And I'm going to tell you something. The problem with that is that Peter rebuked Jesus. Why? Okay, I don't know if you understand this, but parents, you probably would understand this. How would you feel after you told your young people, hey, go clean your room, that your young person backbites or talks back and rebukes you for telling them to go make their bed? Any takers? Anybody would like to? No? TPI, folks, total participant involvement. Brother Edmundo? Someone's going to get hurt. Amen. Praise. We believe in discipline. Amen. But amen. Smack. Here's the thing, right? Even if you don't smack them, right, you're going to want to feel a certain way because how dare you, child? I'm the one that put this roof over your head. I put food on the table. I'm the one that helped clothe you. Sorry. I'm the one that helps you, eat. You okay, Michelle? Yeah. But here's the thing, right? The audacity of this young person, a follower, the child who you're helping, tell you, rebuke you about your command or your plan for them. You're trying to help them create some type of character every time that you make your bed or clean your room. Guess what? Even though you might not see it, when you become an employee or an owner, you're going to have the characteristics of being industrious. Amen? They don't get that. They don't understand that. But as a parent, you do, right? Parents, if you didn't, now you know. Here's the thing. Peter had the audacity to rebuke Jesus about God's plan. God's plan. The creator of the world, the one who created the cosmos, who did something so beautiful, yet it was complicated. The man that created all this universe had a plan. And the creation has the audacity to stand up against the creator and say, "No, put it far from thee. That's not going to happen." That's how it's coming across. So you can get a better understanding or a grasp of what's happening here. I want you to understand that good intentions or good intention is not the same as obedience. God's plan, just so you know, often contradicts human reasoning. It might not make sense to you. It might not make sense to me. We might not have an understanding because his ways are not our ways. Amen? His ways are higher than our ways. We don't understand that. His thoughts. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Next. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your" what? "Thoughts." Again, what might feel wrong to us may be righteous to him. So please, when you come to church, folks, and you might not understand the things that are happening or occurring, or why is pastor doing this, or why is I'm not doing it because I just want to like ruin the spirit of the church or destroy the church chemistry dynamic. But understand, if it's something that we did it prayerfully, we never do things, and I'm just going to let you know so you understand our way of thinking here. I'm never going to do something that's for my best interests. Okay? It was not for my best interest when we started this church to not get paid until 9 years. For 9 years, I didn't get a salary, receive a salary. So it wasn't my best interest to do so, okay? So you understand, it's not for money that I do this. Our church is 11 years old, so you could do the math. The reality is, it's bigger than me. And it's bigger than you. Follow me? We're going to do what's best interest for the plan of God for our church. Amen? And sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, I have emotions about it. Amen? I'm like, ugh, I don't want to do that. But then at the end of the day, I had to come to this conclusion. Am I going to obey God? Or am I going to follow my heart? My question to you is, are you going to get upset or are you going to follow God's will for your life? Now, pastor, it's difficult, I know. I just want us to understand we need to be careful when we tell God what shouldn't happen in our life. You and I should be careful because the very things that we pray against are sometimes the tool God uses to bring redemption, maturity, victory, and God's will for our life. I'm thankful to God. He didn't answer my prayer when I was praying that I would get to know my father. Because who knows? He probably would have taken me out of the will of God for my life. I probably wouldn't be standing here if I would have ever met my father. I'm thankful that God didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted it answered. I'm thankful that he answered it the way he chose. Right? Romans 8:28. For all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, that love the Lord and are called according to his, that love God and are called according to his purpose. Whether it's to my good or whether it's for his good, the point is, it's for good. I don't have to like it. You know how difficult it is, how traumatic it is for a young man to grow up without a father or a father figure in the home? It's difficult. It's traumatic. But I will tell you this, I have learned that through my pain and suffering, I've embraced it. Now I'm able to help others that are in that path. And that's my road to recovery. That's how I heal too. And I still struggle with some of it. But that's the neat thing, the irony of it. I want you to understand, please don't tell God what should or what shouldn't happen in your life, my friends. Even though we might not understand it, I will tell you this, His ways are higher than our ways. Amen? Amen. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. You can love Jesus, and I'll go this far, and still argue His will. I did it many times. You can call Him Lord and say, you know, I'm not going to do it that way, but don't be disobedient. You can get upset about it, you know, be respectful, obviously. But I want you to understand, if it were not for Jesus going to the cross, we wouldn't have this relationship with God. Our relationship would have never been reconciled. Amen? So I'm thankful that Jesus went through the hard times, even though it didn't make sense. Here's the third point. I'll be done. Without God, human logic deceives. Without God, human logic deceives. Matthew 16, 23 says, But he turned and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of who? Be of who, church? Men. Now, I know we had donuts and coffee, amen. Some of you probably need to drink a little bit more coffee, amen. But I want us to, this is the last point, I want us to understand that Jesus was not calling Peter Satan because of his identity. Jesus was calling Peter Satan because of his influence. Who was influencing Peter? Because it was not God. Does that make sense or no? Peter's not Satan. We understand that. But whose work was he doing? Satan, to prevent the will of God, to prevent Jesus from being crucified, to prevent Jesus from resurrecting. Thank God for his resurrection. Amen. Thank God we serve a risen Savior. Amen. Amen. I love this because Peter is echoing the same temptation Satan offered Jesus in the wilderness. He was telling Jesus to avoid suffering in the wilderness. When Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was telling him to skip the cross, take the easy path. In other words, he was doing anything and everything to help Jesus divert the crucifixion from obeying the Father, from doing the will of God. And can I tell you something? No matter how sincere something sounds, always obey God. Please, always obey God. Young people, it doesn't matter how sincere your friends might be. If they tell you to not listen to your parents, obey God. You say, Pastor, that's not obeying God. My parents are not God. Well, that's the spiritual authority in the home, but you're right. They're not God. So I'll give you what God says. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the, for this is obey God. That's truth. That's truth. Husbands, when you're with your buddies or co-workers and they say, well, you don't have to listen to her, man. Just get divorced. I'm telling you, obey God. You say, well, my wife is not God. You're right, sir. But what does Ephesians 5:25 says, right? Husbands, love your, come on. Wives, as Christ loved the, that he gave himself for it. That's what God says. Ladies, don't throw no tomatoes, amen. Obey God. Obey God. Don't listen to the other ladies that you're hanging out with. I don't know, Pandora. What is that? Pandora bread or whatever. What is it called? Panera bread? Panera bread. Ain't Pandora. Amen. Pandora Express. Amen. I don't know what that is. Panera bread. Amen. Hanging out with your ladies or something. Or I don't know where you hang out. Amen. It's okay to be friendly and friends, but don't allow the influence of Satan to creep into your life. And when you're discussing certain things, right, with your friends, don't let Satan, don't do the work of Satan. Obey God. Oh, that husband of yours, yeah, you need to trade him for another one. Like if he's just a pair of socks, amen? He's a little bit more valuable than that. I'm going to leave it at that, amen? I'm going to leave it at that, amen? Let's continue, amen? I just want you to know, Colossians 3:2 says, Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your affections, your desires, your emotions, your pursuit, your affections, your love on things where? Above. Not on things where? I should not love my car more than I love my wife. He said, but your wife is on earth. What does the Bible say? Amen. His words are above my words. Husbands, love your wife. It's that simple. I should not love fishing more than I love my wife. It's not comparable. Amen. It's not. I promise you, it's not. I should not love, well, this one's a difficult one for me. Pray for me. Amen. I don't, babe, in comparison, okay? I hate it in comparison, but love football as much as my wife. Go Longhorns. I should not. Amen. God's still working on me too. My point that I'm trying to make is this. You and I need to get to that place, and I'm not going to have food this morning. Amen. This evening. Amen. We should have the mindset of God, of Jesus, instead of the mindset of Peter. Peter's mindset was earthly, and it was focused on safety. It was focused on loss, fear, protection. And these are not bad things. They're not. They're not bad things. But Jesus demanded a heavenly mindset. Jesus was focused on obeying. Jesus was focused on sacrifice. Jesus was focused on the redemption of men. So I want you to ask yourself this morning, as we bow our heads, close our eyes, does my counsel push people toward comfort? Or does my advice or counsel push people toward Christ's calling in their life? Does my thinking exalt God's will? Or does my thinking exalt resisting Christ? As the piano plays, Peter learned a lesson. A young person, I don't